Hello there, sports fans. The Columbia Broadcasting System greets you from Yankee Stadium in New York City for the fourth game of the World Series. This is Mel Allen speaking to you from the CBS booth in the upper tier of the grandstand, directly behind home plate. To the right and left, behind and below, and straight ahead in the direction of the bleachers, some 50,000 fans have gathered to be in on what may be a record-breaking day, and they're still pouring in. For manager Joe McCarthy's New York Yankees are on the verge of adding a new page to the already bulging baseball record book. Never in the history of baseball has a team won a world championship three successive times. But with a 3-0 game lead in the current series, it's almost a certainty that New York will blaze a new trail. And if the Yankees win this afternoon, they will be duplicating history they set up in 1932. On that memorable occasion, not only did the Yankees sweep the series with the Cubs, but they also concluded a record string of 12 straight October Classic triumphs begun in Pittsburgh against the Pirates in 1927 and carried through against the St. Louis Cardinals in 1928. Two other managers have had the chance which is offered to Joe McCarthy of the Yankees today, and on both occasions, great teams failed to achieve the third straight World's title. The Yankees of 1923, managed by Sir Huggins, stopped John McGraw's Giants after the Polo Grounders had won in the two previous years. Connie Mack ran afoul Pepper Martin and the St. Louis Cardinals and lost out in 1931 after beating Chicago in 1929 and St. Louis in 1930. The bleachers, as usual, were rapidly filled up at an early hour this morning, and their long wait for game time was brightened by the appearance of Al Shaack, the Clown Prince of Baseball. Al led the 7th Regiment Band, which you hear playing in the background right now, around the field in parade and put on his famous baseball act, in which, playing the role of a pitcher, he goes through the antics of loading the bases and then allowing the next imaginary hitter to clout a home run. His encore was a tennis match. A net was set up in center field, and he battled his imaginary opponent for 5 minutes before succumbing to the ordeal. Al, you know, used to be a big league baseball player himself, having played for the Washington Senators as a pitcher in 1919, 20, and 21, and in 1924 he became a Senator coach. At 12:30 this noon, the Yankees came on the field for batting practice, which was the signal for Shaack to depart. But the fans were still entertained by the great number of pitches the Yankees put into the stands. The sun, which was shining brightly all morning, decided to have some fun itself and started playing hide-and-seek with a fresh batch of clouds. Only a mild breeze is blowing now, the sun is still out, and the weather is comfortable. As the teams were going through their warm-up paces, we were thinking that in World Series competition, where the eyes of the baseball world are centered on the performances of each player, where so much is at stake, the composure of the competitors receives a severe test. And under those conditions, one would expect newcomers to the Fall Classic to fall heir to a case of jitters. But this series has definitely put a damper on such expectations, for two of the heroes thus far are getting their first taste of interleague warfare, Joe Gordon of the Yankees and Joe Mardy of the Cubs. The spry 23-year-old Yankee second sacker has been a key man in his team's three victories from both the hitting and fielding standpoints. Yesterday, he suffered his first error in 18 chances and has come through with several remarkable plays. And the teamwork with Frank Crosetti and Red Rolfe on double plays leaves nothing to be desired. But overshadowing his brilliance afield is his record at the plate. 12 times he's gone to bat, and on 5 of those occasions he hit safely, including a double and a home run for a series average of .417. Hits that turned the tide of victory for the Yankees. It was his home run in the 5th inning yesterday's game, you remember, that broke Clay Bryant's spell over the McCarthyman. It was the first hit the Yankees had gotten in 4 2/3 innings. In all, he's driven in 6 of the 14 runs scored by New York in the 3 games, 4 more than any of his teammates. Baseball observers agree that he's the lad who will soon replace Charlie Gehringer as the king of all second basemen. One of the highlights that sheds a ray of sunshine in the midst of the Cubs' gloom is the batting of the 25-year-old Joe Mardy, who hails from Sacramento, California. The vaunted Yankee pitchers just can't seem to get him out. On the bench most of the season, and also in the first game of the series, he replaced Phil Cavaretta in the outfield at the start of the second contest, and immediately won his spurs with manager Gabby Hartnett by pounding out 3 hits and 4 trips to the plate, driving in all 3 runs which the Cubs scored off Lefty Gomez. Yesterday, he again got 3-4, knocking in both Chicago runs, one of them a lefty home run smash into the left field stands. And so over the last 2 games, he's knocked in all 5 of the tally scored by Chicago. And when you remember that the Cubs had scored but 6 runs altogether since the series opened, his performance takes on added significance. His batting average to date is a sensational 750, which makes him the leading hitter of both teams. But for his absence in the first game, he may have surpassed the all-time series mark now held by Babe Ruth at 625. Speaking of players whose unhappy lot it is to be players whose unhappy lot it is at the right time, the goat of this series is Carl, who failed to produce at the right time. His car and his unfortunate circumstances, which always confront a ball snatches. And again from first and third with one away. And again he went down swinging at the third strike. He's been in there trying his level best. He's been in there trying his level warmer. But because almost everyone's bad, and because he failed to hunt her partner to announce new changes, Emery was at bat. Ken O'Day will do the catching in place of manager Hartnett. There's still another classification in which ball players fall, a hero in defeat, typified in this series by Dizzy Dean. In the lengthening shadows of Wrigley Field Thursday afternoon, old Diz walked off the mound with head high and disappeared into the Cub dugout. A few minutes later, his name was placed in the record book as the losing pitcher of the second game of the 1938 World Series. But to both Cubs and Yankees and to thousands of fans, he was the winner of respect. Sports writers were unanimous in their opinion that if Diz had won, they would have had the opportunity of writing one of the greatest sports stories of the age. Dean was stopping the Yankees because he was putting the ball where they couldn't hit it. He was watching the position of their feet as they took their stance at the plate and pitched in such a way as to make them lunge for the ball, meaning that they couldn't put any body power into their connections. In other words, Diz concentrated on disrupting the batter's timing. Gone was the sizzling pitch that broke the backs of the Detroit Tigers in the 1934 World Series when Diz was a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. But he pitched his heart out and gained the solid admiration of everyone. He's really given the series its best glamour thus far in turning in a brilliant performance of courage and cunning. The Yankees were more exuberant over yesterday's triumph than either of the first two because they believe that now they have definitely got the Cubs whipped down, a belief that doesn't harmonize with the shout-outs of "We're not licked yet," which rang out in the Cubs' dressing room after the game. Nevertheless, the Yankees are confident that they will make it four straight today, and Joe McCarthy has selected Red Ruff to pitch them to their third successive world championship. The hefty redhead has had 3 days of rest and should be in his usual rare form. For all through the season, he was at his best when he pitched after a three-day period of inactivity. The games in which Ruffing wasn't up to his normal standard were those he worked after extensive layoffs brought about by rainy spells. But the ace right-hander didn't have many off days, as shown by his record of 21 victories and 7 defeats for the season. It was the biggest year of his career, and so far he's topped it off with neat series work. The Cubs made 9 hits off of him in the first game in Chicago, but Red scattered them nicely. He expects to do even better this afternoon in view of the fact that he's found out a lot about their hitting weaknesses, which he didn't know opening day. For the Cubs, it will be Big Bill Lee, who was Ruffing's pitching opponent in the first game. Lee went 8 innings against New York that day before he was removed for a pinch hitter, allowing 11 hits and 3 runs, striking out 6 men and issuing but 1 base on balls. Winner of 22 games for Chicago during the season, Bill put in a lot of overtime and came to be regarded as an Iron Man. So the luxury of a 3-day rest should have him fit as a fiddle and ready for come what may this afternoon. His whistling fastball and sweeping curve carried him to 9 shutouts, 4 of them in a row, and seldom has he suffered 2 defeats in a row, which makes the Cubs' chances of winning at least 1 game just a little brighter this afternoon. And now for the lineups for today's game. First, we'll take the Chicago Cubs. And if you've got your lineups there at home ready, here we go. Leading off for Chicago is Stan Hack. Hack is batting .500 in the series thus far, playing third base. Then comes Billy Herman, hitting second base, hitting .182 in the series. Phil Cavaretta, right field, batting .444 for the series. Frank Demery, playing left field, hitting .143. Catching for the Cubs, O'Day. Ken O'Day. He hasn't been in any games, and of course his batting average is 0. Following O'Day is Rip Collins, first base, hitting .182. Then comes Joe Gergis, shortstop, hitting .111. And following him is the Cubs pitcher, Big Bill Lee, who failed to get a hit in the first game of the World Series, which he pitched. And of course, his batting average is 0. Now for the New York Yankees. Frank Frassetti, shortstop, batting .182 for the series. Red Rolfe, R-O-L-F-E, Rolfe, third base, hitting 154 for the series. In third spot is Tommy Henrich. I believe, however, that there's going to be a change in this lineup, and Hoag will play right field instead of Tommy Henrich. We'll check on that officially in just a moment. DiMaggio is, of course, batting in the cleanup spot. Joe DiMaggio playing center field, hitting 273 for the series. Then comes Lou Gehrig, G-E-H-R-I-G. Lou Gehrig playing first base, hitting 300 for the series. Following Gehrig is Bill Dickey, the Yankee catcher, hitting 455. Following Dickey, George Selkirk normally comes in there, but I think the lineup which we're checking on for you will have Hoag playing in the place of George Selkirk, with Tommy Henrich taking his normal position at third spot in the batting lineup. Gordon, batting eighth, playing second base and hitting 417. So there's the national anthem. Getting back to our lineups now, following Gordon, who's batting eighth for the Yankees, comes Red Ruffing, the pitcher. And there go the New York Yankees, trotting out to their positions on the diamond, and the ball game is about to begin. Very briefly, we'll check back with you on the Yankees lineup. In third spot, place Tommy Henrich. And in seventh spot, place Merrill Hoag in the place of George Selkirk. There's an announcement coming over the loudspeaker. We'll wait just a moment and see what the announcer has to say.
For today's game are...
He's simply announcing the batteries. Incidentally, the umpires are Hubbard of the American League at the plate, Moran of the National League at first base, Lou Coles of the American League at second base, and Ziggy Sears of the National League at third base. Uncle Charlie Moran, the oldest veteran of the National League umpiring staff, is on tap duty this afternoon despite the injury he sustained yesterday when Joe Gordon's throw to Gehrig on an attempted double play in the first of the fifth inning crashed into his face. He continued in the game, and afterwards it was discovered that he suffered lacerations on the left side of his face, a deep gash on his lower lip, and another gash on the inside of his upper lip, necessitating a few stitches. Umpire Moran waved away would-be sympathizers with a retort that he had suffered worse injuries than that in his football days. Your play-by-play commentators this afternoon will be Franz Locks of Station KMOX in St. Louis and Bill Dyer of Station WCAU in Philadelphia. We're ready to go now, and here's your play-by-play commentator for the first three innings, Franz Locks.
Thank you, Mel. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're all set to go here in the fourth game of this series, and Stan Heck will be the first man up for the Cubs, to be followed by Billy Herman, and then Phil Cavaretta. Charlie Ruffing making his second start of the series. He won the opening game over at Wrigley Field in Chicago. They're glancing around at the outfield, and now we're just about ready to go. Ruffing comes in on the mound to get his signal from Bill Dickey. Just starts his windup, and here's the initial pitch of the game. Strike one call. A fast one on the inside corner, and it's one strike on Stan Hack. One strike is the count. Ruffing's in there again. Goes into his windup. Here's the next pitch. And a hot one back through the box going out to center field. And Hack is on first base with a single. Stan Hack gets a single back through the box. And that brings up Billy Herman, the Chicago second baseman. Herman bats right-handed with Phil Cavaretta on deck. Manager Gabby Hartnett has shifted his lineup quite a bit this afternoon. He's banned himself. Ken O'Day is back on the outfield, and Sal Reynolds is on the bench. Roughing space, nobody down. Up goes the arm. He's all set. Here's the pitch, inside, ball. Ruffing steps in there again to get his signal for the next pitch. Here's the next one, inside, ball two. That was the seventh hit for Stanley Hack in this series, which makes him batting a little bit over 500 so far. Billy Herman is hitting exactly 182 so far in the series. He's had two hits. Here's the next pitch. Strike. He swung at it. Two balls and one strike. Ruffing's in on the mound again. Glances over at first base. Here's the next pitch, and it's a ground ball going down to Gordon. Gordon tosses the ball down to Crossetti at second base, forcing Stan Hack for the initial out. One away. We have Billy Herman on first base. That brings up Phil Cabaretta, the Chicago right fielder. Cabaretta's had four hits out of nine trips to the plate for an average of .444. Bats left-handed. Joe Marty on deck. We're in the first half of the first inning with one man down, Billy Herman on first base. Ruffing comes in on the mound to get his signal from Dickey. Up goes the arm. Glances over at first base. Here's the pitch. Wide. Ball one. One ball is the count. Cabaretta batting. First half of the first inning. One man on. Ruffing's in on the mound again. All set for the next pitch. There's a throw to first base, but Billy Herman was back to the bag. Steps in on the mound again. Getting set. Here's the next pitch. Wide. Ball two. Two balls and no strike. Two balls, no strikes. Phil Cabaretta batting. Still have Billy Herman on first base. One man down. Stan Hack was the first man up. Had a single, and he was forced at second. Here's the pitch. Foul tip. And the count is now two balls and one strike on Cabaretta. That calls for a new ball. Bill Dickey tosses it into Ruffing. Ruffing's rubbing the ball up a little bit before taking his stance on the rubber. Johnson is coaching on the first baseline for the Cubs with Corridon coaching at third. Ruffing's in there to get his signal again. Steps in on the mound, goes into his stretch, glances over at first base. Here's the pitch, and it's a foul ball coming back to the plate up into the upper tier. And it's two and two. Two balls and two strikes on Cabaretta with Joe Marty on deck. New ball into Ruffing again. Walks back to the rosin bag, strolls in on the mound, falls in the dirt a little bit, getting it fixed to his own liking there. Glances at the outfield and rubs the ball a little, steps it on the mound, got his signal from Dickey. Up goes the arm, he's all set, and here's the pitch, and a hot one back to the box, and Ruffing grabs it, throws down across Eddie, across the seat, over to Gehrig, but it was too late to get Cabaretta. Billy Herman was forced out at second, Ruffing to Crossetti, a hard smash right back to the box, which Ruffing grabbed. That brings up Joe Marty, the Cubs center fielder, getting a big hand as he comes up to the plate. Marty has been at bat eight times. He has six hits for an average of .750. He's setting the pace for all of the hitters in the series so far. That's right-handed with Demery on deck. Cabaretta on first base. Two away. Here's the pitch. Strike one. Call a fast one on the outside corner. One strike on Joe Marty. With two down, Phil Cabaretta on first base. Ruffing steps in on the mound, and here's the next pitch. There go the fly balls, going foul down the right field line. Two or three are after it, and it's into the boxes, making it Reed. Was into the boxes, and the count is now two strikes on Joe Marty. First pitch was a call strike. Third ball, which cut the outside corner, and then he fouled this one into the stands down the right field line. Gordon and Henrich were both going after the ball. A new one tossed into Charlie Ruffing. We're in the first half of the first inning. Two strikes. Ruffing steps in there to get his signal. Glances over at first base. Then he kicks into the dirt a little bit. Up goes the arm. All set for the pitch. Here it comes. Strike three. Marty went down swinging for the third out, retiring the side. The results are in the first half of the first inning show. No runs, one hit, and no errors.
Stan Hack, the Cubs' third baseman, has undoubtedly been the outstanding leadoff man on either team thus far in this series. In all but one game, I think, he's gotten on base the first time that he's been up, and he's given the Yankee pitchers many uncomfortable moments in that respect. He's been to bat 13 times altogether in the World Series thus far, and he's hit safely 7 times. Quite a record for any ball player. He was an indispensable cog in the functioning of the Cub machine this season, leading the team in hitting with an average of .321, and is generally considered as the outstanding third baseman in the National League. Bill Lee has taken his place out there on the mound, warming up with catcher Ken O'Day, who is replacing manager Gabby Hartnett behind the plate this afternoon. Manager Hartnett benched himself because he was unable to do much in the way of hitting. We're ready to go now in the last half of the first inning, with the Cubs having failed to score in their turn at the bat.
Frank Crosetti is the first man up for the Yanks. Crosetti has been at bat 11 times, has 2 hits, and has scored 1 run so far. He'll be followed by Rolf and Hatch. Bill leaves it on the mound. He goes into his windup. Here's the initial pitch. Foul ball going into the stands to the right of the plate. One strike on Frank Crosetti. One strike. New ball tossed into Lee. This is the last half of the first inning. Leaves it on the mound again. Here's the pitch, and it's strike 2 call. That one cut the inside corner. 2 strikes on Crosetti. Ball got away from O'Day. He dropped it. Had to trot out in front of the plate to recover that one. 2 strikes is the count. Leaves it on the mound. Getting a signal now from O'Day. Combs coaching on the first baseline. Fletcher at third for the Yanks. Lee starts his windup. Here's the pitch, and it's inside. Ball 1. 2 strikes and 1 ball. Crosetti batting. 2 strikes, 1 ball is the count. It's the last half of the first inning. Lee's getting a signal. Starts the old windup for the next pitch. Here it comes. Ball 2, a little bit high. It was over, but it was high, and the count is even up. 2-2. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Red Rolf on deck. Steps in on the mound again. He got his signal. Goes into his windup for the next pitch with the count 2-2. Here it comes, and it's strike 3. Crosetti went down swinging. That brings up Rolf, the Yankee third baseman, a left-handed hitter, with Tom Henrich on deck. The reason Selkirk is out of the lineup was due to the fact that he wrecked his side yesterday while batting, or the day before, and it was bothering him, so Hogue is out in left field for the Yanks. Here's the first pitch. Strike 1, call. Curveball cut the inside corner. 1 strike on Red Rolf with 1 down. Henry Chondek, it's the last half of the first inning. Lee gets a signal from O'Day, goes into his windup, and here's the next pitch and a drive going out to center field for a hit. And Red Rolf is on first base, a single to center field. That brings up Henrich, the Yankee right fielder. That was Rolf's third hit of the series. Henrich has had 3 hits out of 12 trips to the plate. That's left-handed, 1 man down. Leedy steps in on the mound, up goes the arm, getting set for the pitch. Here it is. Ball, it was high. 1 ball is the count on Henrich. Rolf on first base with 1 man down. Steps it on the mound again to get his signal for the next one. Here it comes. Strike 1. He swung at that one. 1-1. 1 ball and 1 strike on Henrich. Ball's back out to Lee. Rubs it up a little bit. Steps it on the mound. This is the fourth game of the series, and it stands 3 victories for the Yanks so far. Leaves it on the mound. He glances over first base again. Here's the next pitch, and it's strike 2. Henrich took another cut. 2 strikes and 1 ball. 2 strikes, 1 ball is the count. Tommy Henrich batting. Red Rolf on first base. 1 man down. Crosetti, the first man up, went down swinging. Leaves it on the mound again. Up goes the arm. All set. Glances over first. Here's the pitch, and a foul back against the net.
Count remains the same, two strikes, one ball. That calls for a new one, and Ken O'Day, the Chicago catcher, is rubbing it up a little bit before he tosses it out to Lee. And Lee does likewise after he gets hold of it. Two strikes, one ball. Red Rolfe on first base, one man down. Lee comes in on the mound. He got his signal again. Standing there now, glancing into the plate. Takes his stretch, glances over at first base. Here's the pitch, and it's ball. It was low, making the count read 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, with Rolfe on first base and one. Up goes the arm, getting set for the next pitch. Rolfe taking a nice lead, and he turns and throws over there. It's second. Rolfe started for second. Lee turned and fired the ball over to Collins, but before Collins could get the throw down to Jurgis, Rolfe was already down there with a stolen base. Two balls and two strikes. Lee stepped in on the mound, getting set for the pitch. Here it is, and a ground ball going down to Collins. Collins takes it, races over to the bag, making the put out unassisted, while Rolfe moves over to third. That brings up Joe DiMaggio, the Yankee center fielder, bats right-handed. DiMaggio has had 3 hits out of 11 trips at the plate so far, for an average of .273. Bats right-handed with Lou Gehrig on deck. Rolfe is on third base, 2 down. Lee steps in on the mound. He got his signal from O'Day. Starts his windup for the first pitch to DiMaggio. Strike one. DiMaggio swung at it. One strike is the count on Joe DiMaggio with 2 down and Red Rolfe on third. Lee starts the old windup again. Here's the next pitch, and it's strike two. DiMaggio took another cut. 2 strikes is the count. 2 strikes, Rolfe on third base, and 2 down. Lee steps in there, got the signal from O'Day. Winding up, here's the next pitch, foul ball to the left of the plate. A new ball is being tossed in. Fletcher fielded that one, coaching down on the third baseline. O'Day rubs it up a little, tosses it out to Bill Lee, who is doing likewise, standing in back of the pitcher's mound. We have Red Rolfe on third base with 2 down. Rolfe got a single to center field and stole second. And advanced to third while Hendricks was being retired by Collins. Lee's winding up for the pitch. Here it comes. Ball low. 2 strikes, 1 ball. Joe DiMaggio batting with Rolfe on third base. Lou Gehrig on deck. Sit on the mound. He got his signal again from O'Day. 2 strikes and 1 ball. And here's the next pitch. He went down swinging. DiMaggio struck out for the third out, retiring the side. The results there in the last half of the first inning show no runs, 1 hit, and no error.
Before we start into the second inning, let's take time out for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.
Back again at Yankee Stadium, where we are waiting the Cubs to come to bat in their half of the second inning with a score 0-0. Bill Lee's curveball was working very nicely for him that inning. He was making the Yankees lunge at the curves he was shooting across the plate. He's mixing his fastball with it nicely. Joe DiMaggio swung at a couple of balls there. He didn't get his bat anywhere near it as they broke away from him. There goes Dickey's throw down to second. We're ready to go in the first half of the second inning with a score Cubs 0, Yanks 0.
Frank Dimery is the first man up for the Cubs here in the first half of the second inning. Playing right field. He'll be followed by Ken O'Day, the Chicago catcher, and then Rip Collins. Dimery bats right-handed. Frank Dimery batting. He's had 1 hit out of 7 trips to the plate so far. Here's the first pitch, call strike. 1 strike is the count. 1 strike on Dimery. Ruffing steps in on the mound. He got his signal again from Bill Lucky. Goes into his windup for the next pitch to Dimery. Here it comes, and there goes a
fly ball. It's going down the first baseline, going foul. Gehrig coming over. He's under it, and he takes it for the out. Demery fouled out to Gehrig. One down. That brings up Ken O'Day, the Chicago catcher. Bats left-handed. O'Day has been in as a pinch hitter. Been in there twice. Hasn't any hit so far. Bats left-handed. Ruffing starts his windup. Here's the first pitch to O'Day. A little bit low. Ball one. One man down, nobody on. The hits are one and one so far. Hack getting one for the Cubs in the first inning. Rolfe getting one for the Yanks. Here's the next pitch and a foul ball coming back against the net, making the count read one and one. A new ball is tossed in. Cal Hubbard of the American League is calling balls and strikes. Charlie Moran of the National working at first. Luke Coles of the American at second. And Ziggy Sears of the National at third in the way of umpires. Here's the next pitch and it's strike two. O'Day took a cut at it. Two strikes and one ball. Two strikes, one ball, one man down, nobody on. Ruffing's in all down, goes into his windup again. And here's the next pitch, wide, ball two. Two and two. Two balls, two strikes. This is the first half of the second inning. Ruffing steps in on the mound to get his signal. Two strikes, two balls. Here's the pitch, and it's a foul ball. Coming in back of the plate, Dickey coming back after it. He's under it, and he makes the catch right back here in front of the net, directly in back of the plate for the second out. That brings up Rip Collins, the Chicago first baseman, a switch hitter. He'll bat left-handed against Charlie Ruffing. Collins so far in the series has two hits out of 11 trips to the plate. It's an average of 182. Two down, nobody on. Jurgis on deck. Ruffing starts his windup. Here's the pitch and a ground ball going down the first baseline. Gary grabs it, tosses to Ruffing, who covers the bag. A nice play on the part of Charlie Ruffing for the third out, retiring the side. The results there in the first half of the second inning show no runs, no hits, and no errors.
Red Ruffing looks like he's going to turn in a great game this afternoon. His pitches seem to be baffling the Cubs thus far, with the exception of Stan Hack, who nicked him for a single in the opening inning. Red had very little trouble with the Cubs in their half of the second inning, setting them up three up and three down. Demery popping up to Gehrig, fouling out to him. O'Day fouling out to Dickey behind the plate, and Collins grounding out. It's very interesting to watch pitchers work when they get the batter in the hole, when they get two strikes on him. The next pitch usually is on the outside corner of the plate, very wide, because the pitcher hopes that the batter will offer at it, inasmuch as the batter is on the spot and is afraid to let anything go by for fear this might be called a strike. They're up there anxious to cut it the next pitch, and they usually sometimes whiff at it and go down swinging for the third strike. Here we go in the last half of the second inning. The score, nothing, nothing.
Lou Gehrig is the first man up for the Yanks, the Yankee first baseman. Bats left-handed. He's had three hits out of 10 trips to the plate so far. The pitch, and it's high, ball one. Bill Dickey on deck, and Hogue will be the third hitter of the inning. Leaves it on the mound, goes into his windup for the next one. Here it comes, a fly ball going to the left of the plate, down the third baseline. Stan Hack comes in about halfway and takes it for the out. Gehrig popped out to Stan Hack, who made the catch about halfway between home and the plate. That's one away, and brings up Bill Dickey, the Yankee catcher. And he's getting a nice hand as he comes up to the plate. Dickey has had five hits out of 11 trips to the plate for an average of 455. He's setting the pace of all the Yankee sluggers.